During the meetings today, we heard a little bit about problems. Well, everybody's got problems, and like everybody else, I had my fair share of them. I can see a nice smiling face at the back that I haven't seen for years. Being born and brought up in Scotland during the war years wasn't without its ups and downs. There was problems in the house between my mother and father. And as I grew up, the problems got worse and worse. After the war years, things didn't get better, because when my father went to work on a Friday, he'd come home late at night, very drunk. And the children, which I was one of them, I'm from a family of 10, it wasn't very pleasant looking forward to weekends. Now weekends are something different. But then we dreaded the weekends coming, because we knew of the fights that would occur between our parents. And even though I was so young, I knew that there must be more to life than this. So as I grew up in my early teen years, my heart started searching. And without anyone, my father was a Roman Catholic. My mother was in the Free Stars. I don't know if you know that, but that's the Orange Lodge. And it was like little island in our house. So I went searching somewhere else. And I went along to the Free Church of Scotland. And I went to Sunday school. I went to the Girl Guides. I went to girls' rallies in a Bethany Hall. And anywhere I could go that had a good name, my heart went there because I was searching. When I was 15 years, I became a member of the Free Church of Scotland through going to see and hear Billy Graham, who came to Scotland at that time when I was 15. And I knew that there must be something in life, and I was going to find it, because I promised that when I grew up, I'd never have a life like my mother had, because she didn't have a very nice life at all. Actually, my mother knew the answer to life and had turned her back on it years ago. So when I was 19, after going along merrily with the crowd in the society I grew up in, which was we went to local pictures and we went to local dance hall, and just in the society we grew up in, I went along merrily there until I was 19. And then I married a fellow that I met in the local dance hall. You know, everything went rosy. It was really beautiful for a little time. And problems started to rise. My husband and me, we couldn't see eye to eye over little things. I wanted my way and he wanted his way. And before we were married, we never ever drank. That was the society we grew up in, that we didn't drink. But now, after we were married, we started taking what was called the social drink. My husband was a soccer player, and off he would trot in his soccer. He started gambling on horses, dogs, flies up the wall, anything he could find, he gambled on. No, the loneliness to be left in yourself isn't very nice. And by this time, I had a little girl of 3 years old. I was still faithfully going along to church. I was going to be a good person. And each Sunday I faithfully went along, took my little girl along, put her in the Sunday school while I went into church. It was an afternoon session. But you know, we were very unhappy. There was nothing in our marriage, because there was a big gulf coming between us. And I started smoking to find satisfaction for the longing that was within me. 13 years ago, we came a bit wise to ourselves, and we said, well, we need a new start. So we thought we'd find it here in Australia. So off we came. But you know, changing countries doesn't change people. You remain the same. You can't run away from yourself. When we landed here on Christmas Day, New South Wales, and we came out on the Commonwealth scheme because we don't have any family in Australia at all. We still don't either, we're just by ourselves. By this time we had 2 little girls, 5-year-old and a 1-year-old. After we landed in Australia here, we were on a migrant hostel, because that's how you come out when you come out by the immigration scheme, without anybody to sponsor you. We stayed there 18 months. You know, things weren't any better. They only got worse. You ever been lonely? In a place where nobody seems to care? Nobody comes and knocks on your door? The loneliness is terrible. So we thought, well, we made a mistake, we'll go back to Scotland. But of course, we had no money. Because when we landed with the clothes we stood up in and $10 in our pockets. So I worked full time to try and get a bit of money by us. Then we had another thought. Why don't we go and try South Australia? We might find something there. You know, we went to South Australia. My husband got a soccer match as usual. He's a professional soccer player. He got into his soccer and I never saw him half the time. He was out soccer 2 nights a week training, out all day Saturday. He came home Saturday night, drunk. By this time I was smoking about 40 cigarettes a day. We were still going out about socially. We made a few friends, but they were on the same boat as ourselves. So after a while, I even started getting so miserable that I took 2 jobs just to get away from the house. I worked all day, come home and had tea, and then went out again and cleaned offices at night time. I was searching. I had stopped going to church by this time, but there was a local gospel hall and I sent the children along to Sunday school. 1 year when it was the anniversary, 10 years ago, the little girls asked us to go. So I went. And it stirred something in my heart again. But I was so heartbroken by this time that I was ready to give up. And I did try to commit suicide. It's amazing what you'll do when you think nobody cares. Mm. One time I ended up in hospital for about 4 days. Just through my own silliness. It was a year later when they came again and said, "Mum, would you come get to the anniversary?" And I said, "No. You go ask Dad." It's about a time that Dad took over. He's your father and you're his children. So they asked Dad, and Dad went along. I went too, actually. I couldn't believe my eyes. So we went along. Do you know, my husband heard of the love of God. Soon after, he accepted him as his saviour. And then he started telling me that I needed a saviour. And I said no. My attitude was, he needed a saviour, I didn't. I was a good person. I had high moral standards. I wouldn't hurt nobody. I'd been striving for years to have a good home. I didn't need a saviour, he needed it. But you know, he kept hammering away, telling me straight to my face that I was a sinner. And I couldn't take being called a sinner. Actually, I didn't know what being a sinner meant. One day, he stopped going to soccer. And I didn't even get a Saturday peace now. And he kept at me, trying to explain. And the more he tried to explain, the more upset I became. So one Saturday afternoon, I couldn't take any more. And I said, "That's it, I'm finished." Up the hall I went to pack my bag. Don't ask me where I was going, I don't know. Because I don't know no one in Australia. But as I was going up the hall, the children's bedroom door was open, ajar, and down the hinges there was a crack about so much. And when I was passing just to the corner of my eye, I noticed through the little opening my 9-year-old daughter kneeling at her bed with a face as white as a sheet, praying for her mummy. Then I realised that it was me that was causing trouble, that I was making my children suffer the way I suffered as a child. And it hit me hard. I stopped in my tracks and I just looked. Then I went in the bedroom and I didn't crack. I went down on my knees and I said, "Lord, I know your name. I don't know nothing else. Show me. Teach me." And I handed myself straight over. Do you know, the Lord's faithful. He's faithful and he talked. But you know, a broken marriage doesn't heal in a day. But the Lord, in His goodness, showed us the answers to the problems. And after a lot of hard work, a lot of forgiving and forgetting, patience, it came right. And after 4 years of loving the Lord and growing together again with my husband, we decided we'd love to go and tell others. We must tell others. So where did we go? Over Western Australia. Not because we wanted to go, but because God says, go. So for the next 4 years after that, we were on a mission station showing this love to Aboriginal children and with an outreach to Aboriginal adults. Now talk about problems. They were so high that you couldn't get over them. You just had to wait for the Lord to take you through them. But when I went there, the problem seemed like a mountain. After a while, amazing how they become so small. I couldn't sew a stitch, and I had 13 boys under my care. Have you ever tried to sew 52 pair of trousers before winter comes on to fit the boys? Problem. Then there was the outreach to the adults, and one woman at the Bible Study Fellowship accepted the Lord as a saviour. And the next day, as I was passing through the little town, I had to pick her up off the gutter drunk. Problem. Heartaches. But the Lord again is faithful to take you right through them. Last year, we felt the need for more effective Bible study so that we can help other people. After 4 years on the mission, we knew we needed more so that we can help more. So that's why this year, believe it or not, 40 years old, I'm a full-time student at Emmaus Bible School. People get a shock when I tell them that. One woman came up to me at one gospel hall and she says, "You're at Emmaus." Oh, I got a shock when I found that out. I thought, just as well I haven't got a thin skin, isn't it? But you know, there's still problems. It's not easy starting school when you're 40 years old. It's not, especially when you don't speak English and you're trying to learn it. Then they throw some Greek in. That's worse. But you know, the Lord's faithfulness problem. And just recently, the start of this term, this is our third term, a problem landed in my lap that was so big I couldn't believe it. I took really sick, very sick. I went to the doctors. They examined me, went for tests, and they found I had thyroid trouble. And I felt, what am I going to do now? I came to Emmaus, I've done 2 good terms, I've kept up with the young ones, praise the Lord, and here I am. And I just felt terrible. Then I went back for more tests, and they found out that I was pregnant. 40 years old, I've got 2 teenage daughters, 19 years old and 15 years old. I thought, oh, I can't take it. And I couldn't. My whole inside was torn apart. More so because I couldn't study God's word. And that's why I came. Do you know, it's amazing how the Lord's so loving. He doesn't pull you through your problem. He just guides. And gently the light shines in that now I'm in a state of acceptance. There's a reason. I don't know the full reason as yet, but there's a reason, and I know it will be shown sometime. I'm still sick. I didn't think I'd make it this weekend. I'm on double lots of tablets trying to keep my feet in, from under me. So I just praise the Lord that I was able to share tonight to show you that God can take a life. I don't tell my story because it's nice. It's not nice to tell people about some of the things you've done. But for the glory of God, that God can take a life and turn it around and make it clean.